Welcome to This Is Source, the podcast that invites you to explore the depths of your being and tap into your true potential. This show is all about inspiring you to discover the power within yourself to create a life of purpose, joy, and fulfillment. So sit back, relax, and let's dive deep into the essence of who you are.
Welcome, welcome, Patty. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Amazing. Mark, what about you?
Good. I'm really good. I'm excited for this conversation. Something about, you know, connecting with you, Patty, and the whole RV life. And I don't know, this is like a merge of all the things that are important and exciting to me. So I'm pumped for this conversation.
I'm excited as well. It was a great conversation we had.
Yeah, definitely. So bring us up to speed. Tell us what's going on lately and all the things that you are on the like creating on the horizon.
Okay, so there's a lot, but I will sum it up. We have been living full-time in an RV for over 2.5 years, my husband and I. We have a great big 40-foot RV for all of our equipment. And we just decided during COVID, let's pick up, buy an RV, sell everything. So we sold everything. All of the kids are out of the house, so that wasn't an issue. And we decided to hit the road. And that would have been a really scary thing for me. But I said, what the heck? Let's go for it. And here we are, a little over 2.5 years on the road, back and forth across the country 3 times. And it's just been amazing for the most part.
Wow. Just 3 times.
Right. Just 3 times. Yes.
It's amazing. Listen, you have to have your favorite place where you love to stop a little bit longer than usual, is it?
That is funny. Everybody asks that. And what I've come to realize in all the travel that we've done is it just depends on the time and where we are. We spend time in Las Vegas and Nevada and been in the desert. And then there's times I want to be, right now we're on the East Coast of Pennsylvania and I want water around. So it really just depends. It's more about the experiences that really touched us that make the difference in what we like and what we want to do. And so our favorite places are just depends. It just varies so much.
So when you go from one spot to another, so you've traversed back and forth across the United States and you'll have a memory, let's say you started on the East Coast and then you're on the West Coast and you have a memory of a really good time that you had on the East Coast. Do you try to go back to that place and sort of relive it and see if it, you know, gives you those same emotions, or do you just kind of let it be what it was and try to explore new places?
There are certain places. So for instance, we're going back to Florida. We spent most of the winter in Florida, and we were at a place called Crystal River. It's just a magical type place. So while we go back to Florida for this winter, I want to go back to the area and see and explore new things, different things. But usually I want to go somewhere else. I want another experience. I found that when we started out and we were in an area, we tried to do everything in that area. It was go, 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 go. And we realized that we had to stop and enjoy the journey, take a little more time. So when I go back to those areas, there are other things on the bucket list to look at or check out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful way of showing to the world that there is not necessary to be in one place, to take one certain job, to go to office every day, right? And COVID showed us that it's possible, you know, to be from home, we call it. And home can be anywhere right now for you. That's amazing. Do you still do something for, I would say, driving, not living, you know, for driving, driving around? Do you do something from your home, like
yes.
Work?
Yes. So when we started out, I was trying to figure out what are we going to do? Because you could live on the road, but you still have to make a living. We had to make money. For me, I had been a teacher for 20 years. I was at the top of my pay scale. I was almost at a doctorate degree. And many years before COVID, I quit for that very reason. I didn't feel like I was living life fully. And so when Dan actually came to me and said, this was in the middle of COVID, he said, hey, let's sell everything and buy an RV. And literally, I sat there and laughed. And then I realized this man is serious. And I said, okay, what are we going to do? Because our goal, our mission, I think for me, my purpose in life is to inspire others, like live life fully. And so Dan has been in the entertainment industry literally his entire life, like actor, producer, director, worked on major movies. And so he said, well, we'll create YouTube videos. And so that was a very natural progression for us. And we started going out and just enjoying life and showing it to people. And back in December, we were offered a podcast. So we too have a podcast. And as you guys know, you find ways to monetize what you do, what you love, and what you know. And so, yep, we definitely work on the road. And I think sometimes we work more and harder than we ever did before. The difference is we truly love what we're doing. And that's, I think, the biggest message for people is do what you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. I mean, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to actually do it. So, and I love that, you know, the story that you tell about your husband, like, comes up with this crazy idea and you're like, yeah, what are you talking about? Oh, wait, you're serious, aren't you? But there must have been something inside of you that was sort of longing for that, something like this to happen, right? Because most people would have just shut them down and been like, you're crazy and we're not having this conversation. But instead you were like, okay, I'll entertain this. What do you want to do here? And here you are 2.5 years later. And I'm completely blown away because, as you know from our conversation, but I want to share a little bit about it with the listeners, if anyone has tuned in to our show later in the game, I talked about this earlier in our podcast, but I did the exact same thing. My wife and I were on vacation in Florida, and my sister flew down to Florida to watch the kids because our kids were little at the time. And she's like, you guys go out to dinner and enjoy yourselves. So the two of us went out, had a great dinner, couple of glasses of wine. And then, you know, I have this like inspired idea that, you know what, let's just sell everything that we have and buy an RV. And she was like, all right, like, let's do it. And the next morning we woke up and I was just waiting for her to be like, no, I shouldn't have that second glass of wine. You're crazy. I'm not doing that, blah, blah, blah. And instead, the first thing she said was, where do we start? And I couldn't grab my laptop fast enough. I grabbed my laptop. I grabbed my phone. I'm calling the real estate agent. We need to list the house. You know, I'm looking at RVs online. And that was it. We literally never looked back after that. We sold our house. We sold everything. Most of what we owned. Obviously, some stuff we held on to and put into storage. But most of the stuff. And, you know, it's crazy. It's hard. It feels like a past life to me because now we're going back. So we're living now in North Carolina for 4 years. And so it was about a year before, so over 5 years ago. And by the way, this is before COVID. So this was, in my opinion, a really rare idea. You know, like, everyone thought we were crazy, but actually I relied on YouTube videos and podcasts. And the reason I did that is because where else are you going to find information about other people that were doing it? And I was surprised to learn that there were a good amount of people that had done something similar to that, and they did it with their families and they were working on the road. And so I feel like that was, every time I had a doubt, could I actually do this? Is this the craziest, stupidest thing? You know, like, did we, you know, because we were getting resistance at every turn, as I'm sure you can imagine. And people are like, everything from, like, you know, the side comments to flat out, like, you guys are irresponsible and this is a terrible idea. But it was those YouTube videos that, and the podcast that was like, well, these people are doing it. And pretty soon I decided to just shut everything down, like all the other noise around me, and just keep watching those videos and listening to those podcasts, because that was the fuel that kept me going. And that was a, you know, super exciting time. And we did that. And we, you know, obviously we left from New Jersey, went all the way down to the southern point of Florida. stayed down in the Keys for 7 weeks, which is like ridiculous. We're going to talk about that in a second. And then we ended up going across all the way across the country to San Diego, and then we came back. But you did it for 2.5 years. We did not last that long, I will tell you. But the only, probably one of the big differences is that we had the 4 little kids at the time. And it was a huge struggle, you know, because for as much as it was exciting and we loved it, you know, and we saw things that we probably would have never seen. Like if you asked me, one of the first things that pops up into my mind is White Sands, New Mexico, you know, and I had never heard of it before, you know, and here we are standing on these mountains of white sand and my kids sledding down mountains of white sands and t-shirts and short, you know, it was incredible. There were parts of the country that I didn't know existed. There were cultures in our country that I didn't know existed. There's so much variety. There's so much to learn. Cause I grew up, you know, in New York. And then when we got married and moved to New Jersey, and you like live in a bubble and you think you have this idea of what the world is like. And then you actually get out there. Wasn't even about leaving the country. It was literally just in our country alone. And I was blown away at how much, you know, variety there was and culture and like beauty. I mean, like I could go on and on about it, but I'll throw this back at you. So are there any similarities or things that in what I'm saying that you can relate to?
Absolutely. A lot of similarities. One of the differences, when Dan said that and I thought he was crazy, I continued to think he was crazy the next morning. So it was a little bit more time. Right. But again, here we were finding ourselves in COVID. We were in Las Vegas at the time. Dan, what we were doing at the time, I was working with a networking group, helping people build their businesses, you know, entrepreneurs build their businesses. And Dan was working on a show in Las Vegas, and he gets on a call with the I think it was Bally's, that said, hey, we're not looking to open shows for at least a year. So here we are with lots and lots of money going out and very little coming in. And I said, you know, we're not living life fully, and that's our goal. Like, live each day. You don't know when your end's going to be. And I know that's kind of cliche, but we really work to live that every day. And so I said, okay, what's this going to look like? How can we continue our mission? I love the idea of going out and creating YouTube videos and inspiring people, showing people what there is to do in this country. And when I thought about it, I had no idea what it was going to really look like. There are things in this country that we have seen and experienced that were just amazing, like that I never thought of. The springs in Crystal River, this clear water that you see on pictures that you can't really truly show in a video or explain. Right. You've got to be there. Absolutely. And yeah, the big thing is teaching people or inspiring people to really stop and enjoy it. There could be hundreds of people in that same environment. Somebody else is thinking about the next thing they have to do or worried about the kids or something else. It's really being in that moment and feeling it. A lot of the things we talk about is how fantastic the people we've met across the country has been. Like, that has been just incredible. And to your point, even during COVID, when a lot of people were going in RVs, people thought we were crazy. Like, we have, between us, we have 5 kids, 4 of them are married. We have 9 grandkids, and I think the kids just say a whole lot, but they definitely thought we were nuts. We got a call from a friend that said, listen, if you need a place to live, let me know. We thought we were homeless. It was interesting because it's like you said, as you're making this decision, we were watching YouTube. We were watching some of the stuff that happens that is scary. We were watching some of the good stuff. So there was this, you know, A, going out in the RV, and B, you know, enjoying our life, enjoying the journey, and being able to continue with that message of inspiring people. So that was a big deal for me at that time.
I heard a couple of times, living life fully, you know. So I would like to ask you, what is your recipe of living life fully. Like if you can, like in 5-6 words.
Wow.
Wow. Sorry. It's like a school.
I don't know about the 5-6 words.
All right.
The 5-6 sentences.
5-6 sentences. Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, that's better. Thank you. The one thing that I have to say, when many years ago, Dan and I got into spirituality and mindset, call it whatever you want, different names for it. When I thought about living life fully and living positive, there was this pressure on me that I had to be positive all the time. So living life fully, I don't believe means every day is roses and wonderful. I do believe that having emotion is part of living life. For the last 6 months, Dan and I have been staying at my brother's with my mother, who was on hospice, and 3 weeks ago she passed. Living life fully was being there with her and being in that moment and accepting, you know, the reality. But it's also the sadness that comes with it. And within that sadness, living life fully is remembering her and talking about her and smiling about something silly you think about. Living life fully for me is being present. You can be by that same crystal river that I was talking about and be thinking about a piece of dirt that you see, or you could be in the moment, be present, and see the beauty or the good that's there. Right. So that's kind of how I see it.
That was really well said. Yeah.
Beautiful. That's actually but what's funny you said about spirituality. At some point when I went into spirituality and I was thinking the same, all spiritual people must be somehow positive minded. They don't have any negative emotions or whatever. And then you just put pressure on yourself, this kind of, which is like, oh no, it's not, actually, I think spirituality is that you accept all parts of yourself, right? It's, you said that you go and discover country, but spirituality lets you go and discover yourself as well, all parts of it. So, and you can go to the most beautiful parts and most ugliest parts into yourself. And that's the beauty of, I think you're doing both right now, right? You're traveling whole country, seeing the beauty and also maybe not the most beautiful places of the country. And in spirituality, you discover same within as well. So I guess if you can a little bit say what is the part you discovered, what is the most ugliest thing within for you being on the road most of the time and most beautiful things? Mm-hmm. Like, let's put this in the balance.
Right. And it's, you can't see the light unless you see the dark is what right. I say. We lived in Las Vegas. Now, I was born and raised in the Philadelphia area, and the weather is very different. We moved to Las Vegas, 280 something days a year, the sun shines. So minimal rain. And it was raining one time and somebody was complaining. And I said, the rain is there to make you appreciate the sunshine. And I think that just kind of explains you've got to see the dark to appreciate the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's interesting that you said that because I think that you have to sometimes follow your instincts, right? So whether it was your husband's original idea and you jumped in on it, but the idea is that you were both in some way inspired, right? So you conspired to be inspired and take this trip. What I learned, and I'm wondering if you kind of went through the same thing, is that everybody has this fantasy of leaving all of what doesn't work behind, like certain relationships that you have issues with, or the environment or the town that you live in, or your neighbor that pisses you off or whatever. So we all have this fantasy about what it would be like to leave it all behind, sell everything, get into an RV and go like park it by, Crystal Springs and just enjoy the sunshine and drink Mai Tais at 5 o'clock or whatever you're into, paint a painting. But I think that when you eliminate all those things, you realize that you might have eliminated this you thought was the source of like internal stress or discontent. But really, all that comes with you wherever you go, you know? And when you show up, as beautiful as the environment might be, it might be laying on a canvas hammock between two palm trees in Southern Florida. But if you're not okay with who you are, you know, then it doesn't matter. And for me, the reason why I bring this up is that was actually one of the biggest learning lessons for me, was realizing that just because you leave things behind doesn't mean that you also leave the parts of you that are not okay behind. You bring those things with you. And actually, it was a big eye opener. And I know this was sort of Agnes's question for you, but it made me think about my own process. And it was what I realized was, wow, there are things about me that I don't give myself a chance to look at because I'm too distracted by all the things around me that I like to complain about. But now here I am, like, on this beautiful vista in Southern California, you know, overlooking the valley, and I'm still annoyed about whatever, you know, like whatever. And I realized, wow, I have some stuff to look into here. It was kind of a real eye opener for me.
Yeah. I mean, you said it perfectly. I mean, for me, that's what spiritual growth evolving has been about for me. It's been a process. So getting in the RV, because we had done so much prior to that, getting in the RV, yeah, you think you're going to walk away from the people, places, things that trigger you or bother right. you or upset you, but you carry them with. Mm-hmm. I do feel like for us being in the RV, and we sometimes have to remember this ourselves, like traveling and looking at something beautiful helps us to then look at those things, issues more clearly, because you are taking it with you. We are really busy. So sometimes you'll see a picture of us sitting on a dock, you know, at a lake or something, but we've just worked 5-6 hours like crazy before that. It's those times that you could sit on the dock and just say, okay, I'm not cleaning today, and be able to look inside. And I think we have had a lot of additional growth in the last 2.5 years. In addition to that, when we say we live in 400 square feet, people laugh because it's probably not even that big. So as I'm sitting here at this desk just next to me, Dan is sitting there, and the bedroom and everything else is not that far away. So now you've got a couple living on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on our podcast, we talked about how do you survive literally without killing each other. So that was a big topic, because so much has changed. And for those people who say, just sell an RV and I'll just sell the house and get an RV and go out, there are definitely things you need to think about and take into consideration. And how do we get along? Sometimes for me, I need my me time and I go to the laundromat for 2.5 hours. I don't know if I'm doing laundry, but you know, I need that time.
Going to the laundromat?
There's always laundry to be done.
Why is there no clean clothes? But been there every day this week.
Right. So, and it's the way to find what we each need. Right. I get up in the morning, I meditate, I journal. Dan tends to stay in bed and does his meditation. We come together and do some things together, but it's also communication and allowing for that. And a lot changes when all of a sudden you're in an RV. And then, like you said, with kids, that's a lot of change.
Yeah. And it's funny, because a lot of people used to say a similar thing to us when we were getting ready to leave. And people were like, you're crazy. Why would you want 4 kids on top of you, you know, in a 500 square foot RV? And my response was always, listen, we're in this huge house, and they're always right on top of me. There's literally 3 floors in this house, and they are always on top of me, whatever room I'm in. I'm like, so at least I'll have a better view. You know what I mean? Because, like, instead of staring at all yard work that I have to do out that window, I'll be, you know, looking at the crystal blue waters in Florida or a mountain somewhere or whatever. So I'll change the vista. The kids are going to be on top of me regardless. And it's the same thing with your spouse too, right? I mean, right. You know.
Right. Exactly. And you know, it's working. And I listened to a bunch of your podcasts, but one of them, the family therapist, and, you know, it's communicating, it's figuring it out. It's a whole new thing for us. So now what do we have to do different? How do we communication? People talk about that all the time. You definitely need to be able to communicate. Hey, look, this is what I need. I need 45 minutes with my coffee before there's any words spoken. Right. Like that is my, you know, definitely need this. So
do you have like a signal for that? Do you have a signal, like a little flag, or you put your cup a certain way? Like, okay, I'm ready now. Like we can start planning the day now.
He just knows. He's learned. Okay. Like the coffee is not finished. Right.
So that looks like a full cup. I'll give you another 20 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you get to those nonverbal signals.
Right. Makes sense.
I think we are coming back to that beauty of that everything is energy. And if everything is energy and we emanating that energy, and we are larger than our bodies, right? So and if you live in such a small place, two of you, you become one, right? That's beautiful. You know, I think it's beautiful to learn it. And I probably that's one of the life learnings for you both of, you know, how to become one. And, you know, I'm resonate with this because I've been traveling a lot as well. I always took my wife with me and we don't need sometimes to talk even. We just, we can sit in silence and we understand each other, you know, and Mark asked, what is the signals, you know, like cup is full or not, you know, and we can talk, but literally. I understand you, you know, like it's just you feel it. When you spend so much time together, you really feel other like yourself. And also it's, of course, it's good to spend alone time so you can actually feel what you feel alone, because that energy it's really interesting that you mentioned this, because people sometimes they think, oh yeah, you just drive, you see lots of things and oh, so much fun. But the energy which you all the time together, you have to really work on that acceptance. I would say that's acceptance.
Absolutely. And the other thing is we've grown our relationship. We've been together. When we started, we had three kids in the house with us. It's a mixed family. So there's all kinds of certain issues that you have with that. And it's also taking a step back and realizing. So one of the things that I've realized in appreciation is Dan and I have a podcast, and you could see our setup, and I'm usually standing right next to him, and we have guests on and we do it through video. And Dan and I will be sitting there. I'll say to the guests when we have them on, listen, if you see us doing this, like, just ignore that. If, you know, and we don't have a script, we just wing it. We have, you know, a topic and we wing it. But now we could just kind of look at each other or point, and we know we're talking about, we know where we want to go next. It's that silent communication. And I think that comes with growing a relationship, and then acknowledging it, because it's easy to acknowledge you said that or you did that and, you know, be annoyed with stuff. It's, you know, again, being out in nature and thinking about positive, like what is there that's more to be grateful for? What is there that's more to appreciate? And I think that's a huge thing for us. I mean, we could sometimes be talking about something and half a sentence and the other person knows it's done. The conversation's done because we know where you're going with it. We know what we're talking about. So is something great, and it's something that takes time and develops over time. And I think there are sometimes miscommunications and arguments and difficulties in between that. But when you could look at that and learn from it, that's the big thing.
Isn't it true that the true test of a relationship is the amount of arguing that takes place while you're parking the RV in the in the RV park?
Yes. And that's a big joke. It's a funny thing. And whenever somebody said something, you know, we're listening to a video and they said, excuse me, the parking and backing up is the biggest problem. I would say, okay, I'm not putting that in my head as a problem. What could we do to solve that? So we start out and we bought a used RV that had tanks that was filled with antifreeze, I guess it's called. I'm very sensitive to smell. It smelled very bad. We go to a campground. There's no dump. You have to pack the RV up and go back up to the top and dump the RV. So we were pulling out of a spot and parking every 5 days. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about, this could be not only we're done with the RV, but we're getting divorced and don't talk to me again kind of situation. So the first couple of times, yes, was tough. Those couple of times we backed in and we're backing in and a person stopped and he said, we start talking to him, got very friendly with him and his wife. And he said, would you mind if I give you some advice and about parking? And I'm like, anything, sure. And Dan always drives the RV. I have never driven it. Dan is used to driving. He's been a stuntman. He's driven RVs and motorcycles and every kind of car you could imagine. He's crashed some of them on purpose. So, he's the driver. Who am I to tell him what to do? So there I am on the outside of the RV trying to tell him what to do. So you can imagine the conflict. So the guy said to him, he said, look, when you're in driving and she's on the outside, you're listening to her. And once we were able to do that, and once I was able to learn how an RV this size swings into a spot, it did become a lot better and easier. And when we get that, where it's getting frustrated, angry, it's like, stop, time out. Like, I'm not giving a show to the neighbors right now. So that is a huge thing. And I think any couple that's going in an RV that could get through that and work it out, and figure out how we're going to work it out is on a way better foot when they finally go out and drive in an RV.
Well, I love that story. And I feel like it could be a metaphor for life in a way, because, just that idea of, I know enough to not need you to give me your input, right? So I have enough life experience that I don't need your input, right? But imagine if we did that more often, if we allowed for when it was somebody else's opportunity to sort of put their perspective or their input into the situation, that we gave them the floor fully and we allowed ourselves to just take in what they have to say about the situation instead of pretending like we have all the answers and we know what's going on.
Right. Not letting kind of your ego, I guess it is, get in the way.
Yeah.
And I think we all do that at times. It was big awareness, and it is like a metaphor for life, for things in life, for sure. Right.
Last night it was funny. Not really that funny, but my wife was driving home from work and she ran over a nail on the way home. So she called me to tell me that the tire pressure is going down in the tire. So I said, when you come home, I'll change the tire. So we went up to the tire store to get the kit to make the repair. We parked across the street in the gas station because the air is right there, and everything I've done these so many times, like plugging a nail in a tire, pull out the nail, pull in the thing, blah, blah, blah. And it's usually not an issue. And I usually do it by myself, but because we've been like two ships passing in the night, I was like, why don't you come with me? We'll spend a little bit of time together while I change this tire. Well, let me tell you, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong in the changing of this tire. It was like one thing after another. And it was a complete disaster. And I was getting so frustrated. And anyway, it was just funny because I said, does this remind you of RV life? Because you get, those are stressful situations, especially when you've been on the road for a while and you finally get to the RV park and you're hungry and you're tired and you just want to put the slides out and relax. But you have to get through this final thing. And, so it's stressful. And anyway, it was just funny because we kind of laughed because that's what it was like all the time. But yeah, I agree. And also it kind of leads me to my next question. And that's because what you've been sharing with us is actually very profound and very spiritual. And I appreciate it because it really makes me think about what's important in life, right? And what's the most important thing are relationships, right? We're all talking about our relationships with our spouses and our children and stuff like that. And to me, there's nothing more spiritual than that. If you can't figure out a way to work out your relationships, then don't bother going to the highest mountain in Tibet to chant in a cave somewhere. It's all about, resolving what's okay and not okay within yourself. And that plays out in the relationships with the people around us. So my question for you is, did you feel like changing the environment played a role in that? So by that, I mean that you're eliminating sort of all of those distractions and sort like, It's like putting two people in an RV. I don't care where you're traveling. It's like you're putting them in an incubator, and if whatever needs to be worked out needs to be worked out. So I'm curious how the environment itself led to the transformation in your relationship, and how you talked about like cultivating a stronger relationship and a better bond and things like that.
I think in a lot of ways. So when we talk about things like a flat tire, I think it also has to do with how do we handle it? So years ago, I would have lost my mind, been upset, crying, you know, the world's coming to an end because the tire is flat kind of thing. Uh-huh. So together, Dan and I have learned to take those things that happen and I want to say handle it better, but let me give you an example. We had a car that we towed on the RV. We had no problem towing it. We got a Jeep. And within the first trip, something happened where the steering wheel locked up and we dragged the Jeep for however many, too many miles, where all four tires on the Jeep were bald. Like, this is not repairable, done. So you get upset, you get annoyed. Luckily, there was no blame. But I think what we could take a step back and realize is this is going to cost us money. This is frustrating, but this is part of life. And so it becomes, how do you now handle these type of situations? I think the biggest thing for Dan and I is working together and learning how to handle them, not being so reactive. Mm-hmm. We work with a life coach, and she's really helped us through that. Like, it's not necessarily what happens, but it's how we react to it. And we get into, I believe, for me, I get into such a reactive state that I'm not looking at the situation clearly. I want to blame. I want to get angry. And you see that with couples all the time. So I think that being in an RV, being in close proximity, sometimes something happens. You're angry. You're frustrated at each other or a situation. You need some time apart. You need some cool off time. Come back together in a different way. And those are skills, and I'm saying it as if it's really easy. It's not. Those are skills we've learned, we've worked on, we've taken steps back and, you know, had to go to our coach and say, this is what's happening. Can you help us? And, you know, just that help to get us on that next, oh, okay, let me take a step back. You know, this is stuff that's going on for me. You know, the first thing you're in a relationship, the first person that has to hear about what's going on is your spouse, the person closest to you. That's the person you're going to hit over the head because you're upset or angry or annoyed. And it's probably not even at them. Right. So it's a lot of awareness. It's a lot of practice. It's a lot of talking to people. It's a lot of having these kinds of conversations that help keep the awareness. So, you know, things just can continue to get better.
Yeah. I think you arrived to my favorite subject. My favorite subject, at least my realizations in life, you know, and I got those downloads as well about, like, it's not that events and circumstances are going to happen, we want it or not. It's all about how we integrate emotions into those. And that's all that matters. And I'm a big fan of, you know, this theory that's the free will of ours. The only one free will is that events, circumstances, more or less, is predestined. At least that's my perspective. And the only thing what we do is integrating emotions in those events, which happening every day, every second. And I think that's the beauty, you know, and that's our free will, how we are going to approach those events. And it's beautiful learning, you know, because like, oh, let's go drive around the country because we are going to have so many more those events. So it's going to be good learning for us, you know, that's how I see it, right? Because it's going to be more intense. It's going to be fun. Let's get ready or back to toolbox of emotions and let's hit the ground. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And I love that you say that, because I think that You know, it's something that I remind my clients all the time. You know, in the beginning, when I start working with someone for the first time and I explain everything that you've been saying, which is basically that, you know, we have to work on those parts of ourselves so that we can improve our relationships with the people around us, right? Because every time we get triggered by somebody, we think it's, oh, he took a shower and he dropped the towel and left it on the floor. You know, that's a problem. He's the problem. You know, I'm only annoyed because he doesn't know how to behave the way I need him to behave. And then when you explore that a little bit deeper, you realize, oh no, actually that was just a trigger that reminded me that there's a part of me that's not okay. And now hopefully I'll have some tools that I can learn by working with a coach, like you said, to learn how to heal those parts of me so that when he does those things, they don't trigger me. They don't send me off the rails, right? So that's huge. And Agris, when you say that, love that, because what I eventually get to is that you'll get to a point where you welcome the triggers. You welcome, why do I welcome the triggers? Because it's an opportunity for you to heal a part of you that is not okay, that maybe you've been repressing or ignoring for a long time. And also when you talk about going, you know, selling your home, going into an RV and traveling around the country, yes, of course, it's beautiful and it's amazing. You're going to see places you've never seen before and you're going to meet tons of happy people because there's all these other people in RV parks that are living the life and having great conversations and enjoying nature and spending most of their time outdoors, like all the things that are conducive to being happy, right? But I think also, you know, there's going to be things, there's going to be flat tires, there's going to be, you know, getting the RV stuck in a ditch or, you know, or financial, like most of us, I will say personally, did not realize, oh, we're going to sell our house. We're going to have all this money in savings. We're not going to have a $4,000 mortgage every month. We're not going to have to pay the landscaper. We're not going to have this bill and that bill. And like, there's this fantasy that like, you're going to have all this money sitting around without realizing that, oh, there's plenty of opportunities to spend money on the road. And so there's that, the financial stress too. But again, they're just more opportunities for things to go wrong. But after a while, you start to realize that you're equipped with the right skills, then it's what you do about what's going wrong that really makes all the difference. So we're not trying to get away from all of our problems. We're not trying to create a life where there are no problems. We're just learning ways to like deal with those problems. And that's all emotional. So it's huge.
Absolutely. I mean, that says it in a nutshell. You had said, you know, when we sold everything and, you know, decided to go in the RV, did I leave all that behind? And again, we have five kids. I was having some relationship issues with one of those kids. That goes with, they don't live mm-hmm. with us. They live somewhere else, but that goes with. And it's not that there won't be issues. It is how you handle them. And what part of me, the towel dropping on the floor, you know, I learned this years ago with my first husband. It made me feel like he thinks I'm supposed to pick it up. Well, after a lot of time in therapy, he said, no, I didn't expect you to pick it up. It's just where I put it. You know, it's your what you're thinking in your head, your story right. in your head that may or may not be reality. So now it's like, okay, you put your dirty clothes on the floor. I'm going to do laundry. I'm going to need them in the laundry basket. You know, and again, I don't mean to simplify it. It's mm-hmm. taken time to get here. And I think it's that willingness. I do mm-hmm. feel like being out in nature, for me, sometimes it's a mountain or a desert, the white sands of a beach, water, whatever that is for me. I think that resets my energy, my internal, I don't have the word, but I think just being out in nature, seeing, you know, a sunset, I love watching the sunsets, sort of shifts the focus for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are allowed to just to come out your natural parts of you, I think, because you see the beauty in nature. Because at home, we create environment around us like we want. More or less, right? Mm-hmm. So we create environment where we feel comfortable into it. In nature, you have to go by flow. You have to accept beauty of the flow of nature and that if there is a wind or whatever happens. So it's like, again, it's about acceptance and loving that changes and natural changes. Because, like, you know, used to live most of my life in Latvia. And I, most of the time, I hated when it started November, you know, December started. And I was like, oh my gosh, this dark period of time, I guess in Philly is the same, right? So it's like, it just becomes dark, you know, dark, lots of rain. And you feel, and if you don't go within, understanding that it's a time to think, to go within, to maybe more meditate and to connect and have that thinking, and then you're screwed. You're screwed, you know. And I moved to California. That was the big reason. Those November, Decembers, you know. I moved to California. I was like, oh, I still have those moments there. So it's not about really, it's just you have to feel, you have to connect with yourself and everything just to feel when is the time to go more within, when go more, you know, enjoy outside. And I think it's beautiful that you have this opportunity really to blend into nature right now, more being on the road.
Yes, and very much. And I believe it's a big part of what made me say yes, what drove me to agree to what seemed like a crazy idea. And I am appreciating and seeing things in nature I couldn't have imagined before we started this journey. I mean, we've done a lot of traveling. We traveled outside the country, did a 3-month tour around the country speaking, and saw so much around the world, actually. But to be here and take your time and see the things and the places in this country that I never could have imagined. And every time we go to an area, I put something else on my list of, I'd love to see this or do this. I think that's a big part of it. And you know, what I try and get across to people is, you know, I want to inspire people to enjoy life. It doesn't mean you have to sell everything and buy an RV. Yes, sometimes it's more expensive than where you were living before, to your point, Mark. But just do something different that makes you happy. When you talk about living in a house and you set it up the way you want, we stop seeing the things that are right in front of us. We stop noticing them. You might have put the most beautiful flower outside, but if you walk past it every day, you actually stop seeing it. Your brain has seen it so many times, it doesn't compute anymore. Mm-hmm. So for me, the change of nature, but sometimes it's also just being in that moment and reminding myself to appreciate. And it was a big reminder for me living in a house for 6 months. That was, you know, this past 6 months was kind of crazy. We were living in a house with Dan and I and 4 other people, which included my mom, who was ill. And, you know, their mindset is not the same at all. Let's just put it that way. So it was a very big reminder to me. The contrast was, this is not what I want. No judgment. They get to live their lives the way they want, but this is certainly not what I want. So there's that contrast, which shows me we live a more positive, the energy that we attract is what's important to us, looking at nature, seeing what's there, seeing the beauty, so many things that it was a great reminder for me.
So do you ever, so 2 questions. One is, like, what's, now that you've had that, right, that recent reminder of, like, you know where you want to be, if you get to make the choice, this is the choice that you make. Do you see this being like a very long-term goal? Do you ever think you'll end up back in a house? Or, like, what's the thought process with that?
So, like, with most things that we kind of do, we just wing it.
Yeah.
We did sell our house. We had a storage unit, which we have since emptied. So everything we own is contained in this RV. So what's next is, I'm going to be very honest. There's part of me that has a little bit of a fear of, we need something stable, and what happens when we can't do this anymore? We need a plan. That's the sort of the fear-based part of me, because then there's the part of me that's saying, oh, okay, we're going to the Hershey RV show in September and we're going to speak. And I love that. That is, you know, the greatest thing. It brings me, truly brings me joy. Our podcasts, our creating videos, these things bring me joy. So I can't see stopping that. I can't see slowing that down. So just in all honesty, there's a little bit of that struggle, or maybe I just need to, I've been taking setbacks and reflecting on what do I need? What kind of plan do we need to have? Do we need one? Because right. We could always just park the RV and then make our choices. So there's that to answer your question. And a lot of people ask that.
Yeah. Well, and it's a great answer because there's an uncertainty that lies there. And it kind of ties into what we were talking about before, which is even being okay with that uncertainty. You know, the truth is, I don't know what it's going to look like a year from now. I mean, that's okay. You know, like, I know this is where I want to be right now. I know there's something under the surface that says, that's screaming at me saying, like, don't forget about the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, the what if plan, you know, and stuff like that. But then there's also, well, but there's also living for today, you know, living in the moment and focusing on what's important to me. And right now, this is important to me, my podcast, my work, my relationship, my opportunity for freedom and exploration and seeing new things and connecting to nature. And so that's where I'm going to be. And it's funny, when I went into it, I was all in, like 100%. There was no, that's why we needed to start selling stuff, because I didn't want to have a plan B. I needed to burn the bridge if I wanted to seize the island. So it was like, that's going to be our life. We're going to be road schoolers. We're going to road school the kids. We're going to travel. We're going to live in the RV. We're going to work from the RV. And I didn't even think about anything beyond that. And when we ended up, you know, moving to North Carolina, which is where we settled, it was really more because our kids, especially the oldest one, was like, okay, I'm done with this. I want to have friends and I want to do sports and I want to go to school and all that kind of stuff. And so that was enough for us to be like, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, when I talk to you, this is the second conversation that we've had, and I feel like you're getting me in trouble because my mind is like, get back in the RV. This is why you didn't sell the RV. Like, what are you doing?
They're just trips instead of full time.
And we held on to the RV because that was our goal. We're like, when we build a new house, let's build it smaller so we're not slaved to this big house that we have to work insane hours to, you know, pay the mortgage on and all the upkeep that it takes to take care of a big house. And then, you know, so we built a smaller house, and our idea was to travel in the RV on the weekends. What I didn't take into consideration was when the kids start doing their activities, that there's no going anywhere because there's always something going on the weekends, you know? So there's the fantasy that still exists within me of just being like, you know, let's just get out and get back in the RV and explore more of the world. And that's actually always in the back of my mind. And the more time I spend with you, the louder that voice gets, you know, and we still own our RV to this day, even though we've been in the house now for 4 years. But it's interesting because as you were telling your stories and listening to what Agar said too, I feel that resonates with me deeply. I know that, you know, I work from my bedroom. The corner of my bedroom is my office, and I have, you know, the window right to the left of me. And I used to sit in the chair and, like, in between calls, I would just kind of look out the window and think, wouldn't it be nice if I put a palm tree there? You know, like, oh yeah, that would be a good idea. And then the longer you sit there, maybe I should put 2 palm trees. Maybe I should put a waterfall. Maybe I should plant this kind of a tree and that kind of a bush and these kind of flowers. And wouldn't it be cool if there was a gazebo out there and I could put a table and some chairs. Anyway, I've since put all that out there. And then this morning I was sitting out there, you know, underneath the gazebo. And this is me being completely honest, right? Because we're all human. As much as we try to study all this stuff and have conversations about this, I was sitting under the gazebo that's surrounded by everything that I just told you about. And what was I doing? I was looking at my phone, other places. And I was like, wow. And I was getting, like, feeling uneasy about it. And I had to stop and put the phone down because I was trying to check in with myself and figure out why am I feeling like something feels a little bit off. And the truth is, because I wasn't being present, I wasn't allowing myself to take in what I already have around me, taking myself out of the present moment and putting myself somewhere else. Like, if I could pay attention to someplace else, maybe that'll bring me some kind of a joy. But really, I'm exactly where I wanted to be. Like, coastal North Carolina, surrounded by palm trees, the weather's beautiful. You know, I have a great backyard. I work from home, which I love. I love my home, blah, blah, blah. But it really takes for us to stop. And I think when I was traveling, especially in the RV, that helped me to kind of cultivate that practice. And the reason for me was because it was like everything seemed short-lived. You know, like you're like, I'm only going to be here for a few weeks. So I really need to just stop being distracted by all that other stuff and just pay attention to what's around me. So it's sort of like I created, like I put pressure on myself to kind of live more in the moment so that because I didn't have time. And to Agris's point too, where I think it was you that said it, like, if you plant a flower, after a while, you see the flower every day, you start to not see it anymore. And so, yeah, that's exactly what happens. We end up getting in this trap of making our home beautiful, making our environment beautiful, and then just getting so used to it that we don't even pay attention to it anymore.
Right. And we talk about planning too, you know. So when I was young, I decided I needed to go to college, have a career, spend a certain amount of time, then I could retire and enjoy life. That was the mindset. So I literally went to college. I got my master's degree. I was three classes away from my doctorate degree. I was a teacher for 20 years. Oh, I'm going to have a retirement. This is great. This is the plan. Well, then life comes in, you know, and stuff happens. And I got divorced and, you know, all of these things happen. So as much as we think, let's plan this right now, you're in this house. And maybe in a year from now, you say, yeah, the kids are older. They're on their own. They're, you know, whatever. I know your kids are younger. I guess my point is, who knows what life is going to look like in 6 months. Two years ago, we were dealing with COVID. Very different life. I think it changed a lot of people's mindset and what they were going to do and not going to do anymore, what they were going to tolerate and not tolerate anymore. So, you know, I guess I'm bringing it back to that idea of a plan and planning. Yeah, I know that next Monday we're going to move to a campground in Hershey. That's the plan. We have speaking engagement at Hershey in September and one in January. And for me, that's as far as the plan goes. And just, it's great to be in the moment and be able to enjoy as it comes up. And again, not having kids certainly makes that a little easier to navigate.
So I know that we're wrapping up and I'll give Agris a chance to kind of chime in for a second too, but I just have one quick question, and that's, has this always been sort of your personality? Someone that appreciates or thrives on variety? Because you're a teacher by trade, and teachers are big planners and they like to have a structure, and it's sort of, I think, the antithesis of that, like, yeah, the biggest part of my plan is just showing up at a campground and then we'll just see what unfolds after that.
Never. That this is not, even 10 years ago, if you had said you're going to go in an RV and just wing it and not plan and not have a plan for what if you don't like it and what if you and blah, 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 blah. This is not at all. I was a planner. I was a typical teacher. The plan got written on Sunday. You went through the week. I knew the holidays off. I knew when I could retire, how much money I was going to have when I retired. So this is totally not who I was, say, 10 years ago.
Wow. So that gives me a lot of hope, because I thought it was just maybe most people couldn't do what I did because they don't favor variety so much. I love a new environment all the time, but you're saying it's possible for anyone that has that type A planner teacher mentality can grow to a point where they're really like ready to just kind of put that aside and live life in the moment. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's truly living in the moment. I've seen too many people get to near death, including Dan twice, and people who have passed and said, whoa, life is too short for this. There was a major shift and a major change. So yes, it's possible for anyone.
Like at the end, if I can add my thoughts, I think it's beautiful that you start to love uncertainty, because it's always been taught we have to love certainty, you know, and I think it's beautiful because it's why we cannot love uncertainty. We can, and it's beautiful. I catch myself many times like, oh my gosh, you know, like what's good, and I've been in those situations so many times in my life, and I learn the lesson that it's actually a lot of beauty in uncertainty, because we have to let it unfold. many, many things. And yeah, like personally, kind of, I know what's probably going to happen with my life, but I don't know how it's going to happen. I think that's beautiful. And this is what I perceive from you, that I love the part that you don't really plan to ahead and let it come, because I think you perceive this from nature, because you know that we don't need to change. We don't need to change nature, because it's going to give more or less same results anyways. Mm-hmm. But why do we change trying to change ourselves? You just let it unfold. It's going to unfold in the most beautiful way, like it does in nature, like night and day is doing their job, like many other things doing their job. So why we humans want to be in control in beautiful flow? So, and I think I really congratulation you and Dan about being in that beautiful flow of nature, enjoying your life. It inspires me. And this is what you do. You inspire people. So thank you for inspiration from you. I would love to see Dan some point too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I have to watch your podcast. So
yeah. Yes, yes. And I know we're going to have you on, both of you. So you'll definitely see him.
Excellent. And so, yeah, I've really enjoyed this conversation a lot. And you brought so much insight to the table. So I appreciate that. I mean, I can only imagine the amount of people that you've inspired, because you brought to this conversation a different element to it, which was the, you know, not just the fantasy part of like being untethered, you know, but also looking for opportunities to be present, moment to moment awareness, you know, paying attention to what's around you and accepting things, right? So a big takeaway for me was accepting things the way that they are. And we can plan a little bit, and then we have to be okay with however things end up working out, because we can only plan so much anyway. So there was just so much that you brought to the table. I appreciate it. I wish this conversation could go on longer. So I want to say that I hope that you'll come back and talk with us again, maybe after your Hershey show.
And absolutely,
that would be great. And so before we go, if you could just share with us how people can find you, your YouTube and your podcast and anything else that you want to talk about.
Okay. So our podcast is called RV Life Podcast. So nice and easy. Our YouTube channel is Exploring Through Our Lens. And you can see all of that on our website, exploringthroughourlens.com. And social media, I have both Instagram and Facebook for the podcast and the YouTube channel. So certainly can reach out privately. You know, I'd love to hear from people.
Excellent. And we'll link all that too in the description. So that's great. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank
so much.
You so much. Thank you guys. This has been incredible.
Oh, good. Awesome. We'll see you soon. To be continued.
Thank you for tuning into This Is Source. We hope that this conversation has sparked something within you and that you feel inspired to continue exploring your own journey of self-discovery. Remember, you are the source of your own transformation, and the possibilities for growth and expansion are infinite. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep shining your light and living your truth.